So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Smell You Later. It's me, Tynan, with my biological sister, Sable, coming at you with another episode. I'm so happy to be back.
Me too.
I say that every week and I mean it.
Yeah, I can tell.
You know?
I feel similarly.
Good. Similarly, but not same. Noted. I don't know why I'm freaking out right now.
Why?
I don't know. I got this facial and it made me anxious. I'm just coming from a facial.
Did they? You don't look like extracted or...
There's a few little spots on my forehead.
Oh, you just
it's
look
all
like
bronzer.
Very, what's the word? Like, you know when you get your face massaged and then like your skin just looks like enlivened?
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
She got me together. She beat my shit up.
Yeah.
Shout out to Taylor Warden in Soho. Go see her.
I need to do a facial. I haven't done one in almost a year.
I'm not a facial person. This is honestly only my second one I've ever had. I don't like massages. I'm like facials. Like, don't touch me.
I need a massage badly. I re-upped my jaw Botox yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And the dermatologist, she was like, I need to switch needles because this is... She had to use like the extra long needle because she's like, your fucking jaw is rock solid,
dude.
Oh
my God. I think I need to do that too.
Yeah. And then immediately after... She did one side. Part of me is like, did you do it wrong or something? But like my muscle like immediately spasmed.
Mm.
And then she started applying pressure. She was like, oh boy, that muscle really jumped out there. And then I like freaked out because when I looked in the mirror, like it looked like clenched.
Shit.
And then I was like, fuck, what if it did the opposite of what I meant for it to do, which was unclench?
Oh my God. So
now it's fine. Like a day later, it's fine. But I was very anxious for a minute.
So Botox in the jaw helps you unclench your jaw, right? If you're
it atrophies the masseter muscle, which is the muscle used to chew or in my case, clench as well.
Yeah.
So if you have like TMJ or teeth grinding problems,
it's
an option for treatment.
I should do that. I have like no molars anymore because I just grind my teeth so badly.
Yeah. I got a teeth cleaning a couple of weeks ago and they're like, noticing some signs of grinding here.
Yeah, what was your first sign?
Yeah, and allegedly it also like slims your face.
Yeah.
But the first time I had it done was like 2018. Like, no, like I did not notice any face slimming whatsoever.
Yeah, I told you that. What is it called? Peachy? The Glossier like tend of Botox is opening like a block from my office. Bitch, my face is going to be froze in 2022. Please.
Yeah, they open one in my neighborhood too.
I know, there's a ton. I've never had Botox and I don't want it, but now that it's so close to me and I probably have an in with PR, I'm just going to be
100%.
Do you want to give me some Botox? Because I take it.
I feel like Botox is the least invasive slash scary or threatening of injectables because it doesn't last as long.
Right.
Although I feel like I would never get Botox on my eyes because I'd be terrified of that like droopy.
I can't ever touch my eyes.
I've seen that when people like they get it done wrong or I don't even know how the fuck it happens, but they have like an eyelid droop.
Yeah.
And then it's not like filler where you can dissolve it. Like you just have to fucking wait. Just fuck.
I mean, my eyes are baggy and whatever, you know, but it's all genetics. It's like, this is just how I look.
That's how eyes look.
And like, I could snatch it back with some filler and Botox,
weird.
But it would look weird. And like, then I don't know. It's like, I shoot your face up with whatever you want. But like, I would Botox away some lines. I would do this or that. But it's like, this is at the end of the day, like, this is just this how you look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a Botox podcast. Now,
this is a Botox podcast.
Botox you later.
Sponsor us, Allergan. I saw maybe last month or 2 months ago, they had a national tox day. It was like a national Botox day. But I just kept seeing hashtags that said like national tox day, which I'm like, maybe you should use the other side of that word for the abbreviation, because it doesn't sound great.
I'm so sick of
also
days.
How do you do that? How do you make a day?
And why?
A national day. It's 100% a marketing thing.
I know.
But I thought it was more general. It's like National Bagel Day or National, like, I don't know, Candle Day. Botox is a brand name.
It's like, can't you just live your life?
Yeah. That would be like saying National Kleenex Day.
Which I'm sure there
is. Weird. Yeah, come through Kleenex.
God.
So my jaw is a little sore. And I'm like, can't wait till it doesn't feel like there's steel in my face.
And we await that day. We celebrate that for you.
The last time I had it done in late 2019, because it takes a long time to kick in. Mm-hmm. They're like, you probably won't feel or see results for like a month or two.
Jesus.
Which I'm just like, that's too long.
Yeah.
That's crazy long.
Yeah.
I could be dead by then.
But right. Honestly.
So every week I took photos to see the progress, which is how I know it doesn't do shit for face slimming for me.
I mean,
so I was like, I look exactly the same in this entire 2 month span. Great. Right.
Great.
Never mind. I feel great. Anyway. Back to our podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So every time I talk about a fragrance like being a time capsule, you know what I mean? Obviously, scent is closely tied to memory, et cetera, et cetera. We always talk about this. When I talk about getting really specific with it, this scent is always what I'm talking about. Ooh. And I didn't know what to wear today, but I don't think I've talked about this scent on the podcast yet. And I wanted something warm, you know, it's winter vibes. And I just couldn't land the plane on what I wanted to smell like, because I love this scent, but I don't like wearing it because it smells like exactly like this one weekend.
Oh.
And I didn't want to like get into like why, but then today took a turn. So what I'm wearing, let me just get into it.
Okay.
See you in 20 minutes. I'm wearing Prada Loam Intense.
Oh, I've heard the Prada backstory before.
So this fragrance is gorgeous.
Yes.
It is really simple, but oh my God. Okay, so basically it's all iris and amber. And for a long time, I thought of it more as just a big amber balm. But as I got to know and love, because of this podcast, iris more, the iris started to jump out at me, because like I sort of learned more about it and learned that I love it. And now that's almost what I smell more than the amber. So at the top, it's all iris. The middle is amber and patchouli. The base is tonka, leather, and sandalwood.
Oh, damn. That sounds real good.
It's... Can you smell? You have to smell. It's... I mean, honestly, it's so good. I mean, it's just like soft and plush and really like honeyed in the way that amber is. It's warm and sweet, but like velvety and really simple. It's really not doing a lot. It's a linear scent. It is so comforting. I love this scent. I came across this scent in probably 20... When did I turn 30? 2017. Mm-hmm. I'm 34. I don't know. So...
Yeah, didn't you say you got it on a trip to New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm remembering this correctly.
I had just turned 30. It was... That weekend, so I had this trip to New York planned with my boyfriend at the time. We were just gonna skip town after my birthday. And then I got that call that was like, hey, do you want to interview Ariana Grande in Hong Kong on Monday? So at the last minute, I flew out to do that. It was like, obviously amazing.
That's insane.
Insane.
Wait, did they fly you business class?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
I know. I got drunk. So that was already like a fucking dream. And very surreal. So I flew back and I flew into New York on the day that I was supposed to for this trip anyway. So I fly back. Mm-hmm. I like meet my dream man in the hotel in Soho that we were staying at called Nomo Soho. It's a very, very nice place. It's a beautiful spot, and had this like this beautiful weekend in New York. And then he went home and I spent the week doing work things. And I stole this fragrance from the Bustle offices. My editor at the time, Amanda Cater, who now has the podcast Big Calf, go listen to that. It's very good. Was like, yeah, take whatever you want. And I raided that beauty closet. But I snatched this up because the bottle is pretty. And I fell really in love with it very fast. So I wore it that whole weekend and week. And now, like, every time I smell it, I just think of that like crazy, surreal, like beautiful, lovely weekend. And when I moved to New York, I was like coming off of this big year of change of like the breakup and getting laid off from LVMH and like wanting to get out of the bar and like leaving Madison. And when I got here to like look for places, I kept having like these like very vivid flashbacks of that weekend when I was like looking for places. And I don't know why, because like New York's a huge place and we didn't do all that much, but like I kept like having like deja vu, like places we went, things about, I don't know. It's like breakup brain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, ugh. And so this scent is a big part of me for that. Okay, but the reason I'm getting into it is because, so today, before the facial, I went to brunch with a girlfriend of mine. And before I went, I put this on and I was like, don't do it, bitch, but I did. But I was like, what's the worst that could happen? So I put on the fragrance and I was like, all right, where are we going to eat? And she tells me, we walk up and it's the restaurant inside of Nomo Soho, the hotel that we stayed, that like this whole thing started at. So I'm like, ah, God damn it. I'm wearing the same fragrance at the same place in the same neighborhood. Like, God, everything is a circle. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Whatever. I mean,
they're all. Cosmos was like, gotcha, bitch.
I know. They're all good memories. Like, I look back on it. Yeah. Very, I feel like I mean, I sound like such a moron all day. Like,
No, I think breakup brain is the perfect descriptor.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like love and scent and memory are so all so closely tied that I'm sorry that all we talk about is like love, sex, and exes on this quote unquote fragrance podcast. But here the fuck we are.
Scent podcast. I'll broaden it up to that.
Please broaden the scope.
Yeah. That's so funny. Every time someone suggests a restaurant that's in a hotel, I'm like, Oh, you're like fancy.
I love a hotel moment though.
I forget that they have restaurants in them sometimes. And sometimes they're very good restaurants. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm like, if you're paying, like, go.
Right.
Because they're so expensive all the time.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
Speaking of the past, this is a fragrance that I've had for a really long, probably since 2016 or 15, since they launched. It is The Harmonist.
Oh!
Yeah, I remember because you brought them up recently.
Yeah.
Hypnotizing Fire.
Wait, that's the one that I discovered last weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Does that the same? Wow.
Yes. Okay, go on.
Okay. So Hypnotizing Fire, I've had this scent since like 2016. I'm pretty sure I wrote about them. Yes, I did write about them on Exo Vein. I think they had just launched in the US at that time. It's such a good scent. It is described as a quote-unquote amber floral. Amber, yes. Floral, I don't agree with at all.
I agree with you.
It smells, if anything, it smells maybe closer to like an amber woody with like a little twinge of gourmand
in
there.
Yep.
Yeah. So many people have asked us and me recommendations for a scent that smells like this. It smells like the most artistic, aesthetic version smell of an extinguished candle. Because it has the smokiness and a little bit of that resinous waxiness to it. It's warm, sweet, and resinous, but also smoky.
Bitch.
So, yeah, I smell like a really expensive candle, like a three-figure plus price point candle
for sure.
That you just extinguished because you're like, I need to make this last for 500 years.
Yeah.
That's what this smells like.
I love this fragrance.
Yeah, I think this is their best one personally. But I think this was also the one that I was matched with their weird kind of like feng shui yin yang system, which I find a little iffy considering the founder is like Eastern European.
Mm.
It's kind of a fun concept.
Yeah.
Everything is with the five elements, water, fire, earth, metal, and wood. Why isn't wood the same as earth?
Aren't there four elements?
Wait. Yeah. I thought there were five.
I thought there were four. Isn't metal not... Aren't they earth?
Metal is one of them.
Fire, wind, and water. So when I was at Bergdorf's last weekend with my non-sexual life partner, Fran, and we were trolling around the fragrance section, and we came across the Harmonist booth, counter, whatever. And
that's right.
And this is beautiful. And I knew that I recognized them because of you. Mm-hmm. So the person at the counter, their name was Logan, I believe. Like, you know, when
shout
someone
out just, to Logan,
you know, how, when someone just like really knows their shit,
yes,
down, they ran us through all this and really made me fall in love with the Harmonist. So I whipped out my phone and I was like, don't you tell me about this? And Logan matched me also with, what's it called? Flaming Fire?
Hypnotizing Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. So anyway, back to what I was correctly saying. The five elements are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And then there's a yin version and a yang version of each. And
wait, this is Velvet Fire.
Yes, that's the yang version. I'm wearing the yin version. So you can go on their website and do a little survey and fill out your birthday or whatever, and it'll match you with the fragrance. Obviously, you don't have to. Like, I think the system is like a little, that's, I don't
nice
know.
Too.
Yeah. But Hypnotizing Fire was my favorite, and Royal Earth was also my favorite, both of which are from the Yin collection. They're all gorgeously complex scents that wear incredibly long and well, and they're very unique. They're kind of expensive.
Yeah. Shit.
I want to say it's like $200.
So these guys are $295.
Okay, that's quite expensive.
But another one that Logan matched me to, and it was a more special.
Yeah, they have like a couple, like
a sun and moon.
Yeah, I want to smell those.
I think an eclipse, so I did.
Oh.
They matched me with moon.
Ooh.
What's it called? Moon Glory.
I want to smell those.
I'll bring these for you. I'll bring you Moon Glory.
Okay.
They give me samples. So good.
Yeah.
And you know what? It actually weirdly reminds me a lot of almost dupery. is Sunday's Yoa from Armani,
oh,
which is discontinued.
Your fave.
Yeah, my fucking fave.
Wow.
So not the same, not a dupe, but
yeah,
very close.
Okay.
In a really like lovely,
yeah,
delightful way. Because I really genuinely like even these guys, I'm really impressed with. Sable has her discovery set out in front of me right here.
They only sent me half the discovery set though.
Excuse
like,
me.
The Yang version.
We're writers.
And I was like, yo, send it all.
When did they send this? 2018?
This set?
Yeah.
Like a month ago.
Oh.
Yeah. They quote unquote relaunched.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, well.
I think they like went away for a while, then they came back, and that's what they mean. But oh. I love the illustrations. They kind of look like really cool.
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards. Yeah, yeah, they look really cool.
This is beautiful. So I love the Harmonist.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's have a look.
I smell like a sexy burnt out candle.
Love it.
Which is not actually that far from the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have, again, our biannual.
Wait.
What?
I meant to tell you.
Oh.
I needed to tell you this.
Okay.
So
okay.
Buckle up. I finally located and broke out my commodity discovery set as I've been threatening to do for a full
finally.
Calendar month. Yes. Yes. And I just wanted to update you because this is what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was interested in the different scent spaces. The mm-hmm. I fucking call it the light, medium, and loud.
Personal, expressive, and bold.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
and so each day I would wear the light on one wrist and the bold on the other, just to sort of like bounce them off each other and see like the differences. And yeah, I mean, like all the rumors are true. You can tell that they are three completely
different
fragrances, mm-hmm. which I think is cool. But I'm so like, I guess what I kept seeing is that the lighter ones really did have a clockable ISO-y super moment going on, like really like light generic woods. And I mean, in a good way. And then the heavier ones were all very like spicy, oody, really dense. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it was interesting to me. But also, though, I did like it all. But I'm like, these are three completely different fragrances.
They are.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
I
would say the only one that I think is they're pretty similar to each other is milk. Like, that's
not,
the only one.
I've not tried milk yet.
Okay.
I tried gold, of course. I think I tried paper, and I think I tried moss, maybe?
Mm. Actually, the moss bold and moss personal to me are quite different.
I think they're all different.
Yeah. Wait, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I just like, and I like it, but I'm just like, I mean, It's not my business, not my problem. But I'm like, it is very cool that you are developing this concept of like scent spaces and weights of scent so you could pick whatever. But I'm also like, you're just making three different fragrances and calling them a scent. You're selling them through as like light, medium, and heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right because I think there are three different ideas.
I could see under like the tent pole of moss.
Yeah.
Or gold. Mm-hmm. It does make sense to me.
It just seems like a lot of development and production to go through to essentially sell one fragrance.
Maybe.
I mean, again, not my business model. I don't care.
If anything, I kind of think the bold and expressives are quite similar to each other. And then the personal is like the most different. So it's like they almost could have had just like bold and personal, and like that would have been fine.
It's funny because I didn't try any of the expressives. I just tried the bolds and the lights. Okay, so I'm going to take your word for that because you're always right. But and it's funny though because I didn't really expect to gravitate toward any of the light ones, and I really like loved them all almost more than the expressives, because I feel like some of the spicier, you know, woodier moments and the heavier ones sort of took over the main idea of the scent. It sort of overrode it. And I don't know. So I'm just like, I don't know.
I think my favorite actually was the gold bold.
Gold bold is it.
Because it takes like this sensuousness, sensuality of the gold, and it gives it a little bit more grit, which I like.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I didn't try moss. I tried velvet.
Oh, yeah.
Velvet's still really fucking good.
The velvet bold to me is like a little too much.
It's a lot.
It's a little much. Yeah.
It's just like, it's not even too heavy. It's just like all the notes are screaming at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I guess was the point.
Right.
But milk, I was going to call it milk minus. Milk personal is my favorite of the personal ones.
Yeah.
Because somebody actually asked me recently about like a grown-up version of Marc Jacobs Daisy.
I think it's in here.
I think it was on my personal.
Oh.
That I did earlier this week when I was procrastinating things. Successfully procrastinating. Thank you. The milk personal shares the same almondy note as Marc Jacobs Daisy.
Okay.
But it's just like without the florals.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Huh.
And then I was like wearing that all day. And then like a bunch of people complimented me on that actually. Hmm. Yeah.
I need to get into that.
Yeah. So thanks, Commodity.
Thanks, Commodity. Okay.
Okay.
About twice a year.
Yeah.
We bust out a Q&A.
Yep.
Because we get a lot of Qs all throughout the year. And this is just a nice way to sort of round them up or give you guys a chance to get them all in one place.
Yep.
And we have a good time going through them.
Yes.
We don't.
Some of them are wild.
I know. Some of them are like, y'all don't know
some
me.
Some are inappropriate.
They don't have to be about fragrance. Sometimes it's most fun when they're not. And not that we are tied to talking about fragrance on this show, as history has shown.
Yes.
But a lot of them are fragrance-based. Some are not. And we're just going to
go through them.
Yeah. And we're not going to hit them all.
We're not going to hit them all.
Because some of y'all have some nerve.
Yep.
But
some of these have the audacity.
What's the first one you're saying so I can be honest?
Okay.
Wait, where the fuck are you? Okay.
I'm all the way at the bottom of
the list. Okay. Sorry.
What products do you use to get your glass glowy? Do you want to do that?
You should do that.
Okay.
The question is, Sable, what products do you use to get your glass skin in the pics that you post?
Oh, man. See, I always say that when you want a skin stunt, is that a word? When you want a stunt on that skin post, wow, this sounds really graphic. A little bit of sebum and sunshine. Is that a fact?
It's all about lighting, dude.
Dude, for real. Straight up direct sunlight in the middle of the afternoon when you're like a little bit sweaty from the day is the effect.
So I agree. This question is directed to you. I don't like taking photos if it's going to be like a beauty stunt in direct sunlight.
Mm.
I like a more ambient light.
Yes. See, they're great for
blurring
your skin, but if you want to show off an eye makeup look or contrast,
exactly.
it like washes everything
and
out.
And you are more skin and I am more color.
Sure.
So that, you know what I mean? Like, ever like doing a big pink eye.
I realize it like erases my eyebrows basically.
Sure.
Like in the sunlight. But otherwise, honestly, if you want like a glassy highlight, moisturizer.
Mm.
The best one for that specific effect, I find, is Weleda Skin Food. because that shit is heavy. Yep. I only need the tiniest bit and then I just tap it onto the high points of my face and it gives you that like juicy look.
Honestly, the richer the better.
Yeah, I can't wear that all over my face because it's just like a grease slick.
I have often used, if not face oils, which are kind of obvious, eye creams as highlights.
Oh, yeah, that's because they're so brilliant. Rich. Yeah. But that's the way to do it.
The highlight I get asked about all the time is the one from Say.
Oh, which one though?
Not the balms, the gel, the super glowy gel is unimpeachable.
Really?
So you have it, right?
I have the tan. Oh my God.
I'll send them an email. You have to get it.
Okay. I've been wanting to try they have like only like two colors, like the pale one. Mm-hmm. But you don't like all over face shimmer.
I know.
Do you not wear it all over?
I just use it on the high points.
Oh, okay.
A lot of their Instagram shit, they're putting it all over. I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's just, it's like no pearl. It's all sheen.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Their tinted moisturizer, however, is really good for this glass skin effect because it's very, very dewy.
I haven't used it, but I have it. Mm-hmm. Their SPF too.
Yeah. It's the same finish. It's just one's tinted and one's not.
I figured.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So that face tint to me is that's very glass skin aesthetic.
What's the most any of you both? How much have we paid for a fragrance out of pocket?
Yeah. What's the most we paid for a fragrance? $250.
Mine is probably $340.
Damn.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was the Bond number 9. The latest Andy Warhol.
Right.
And that was in 2013. I had just, the bar I worked at closed and I got laid off in the same week. So I had like no money for an entire summer. So like.
So you're like, let me splurge it all on.
Well, but once the bar opened back up and I was just like eating cold hard cash every night, let me treat myself. So that's,
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Bond number 9. That's.
But it was like Andy Warhol, like right on the component. You know what I mean? It was like, it was more of a collector thing, which I'm really not into. Like, I don't spend that much money on anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not into like collecting anything for the sake of collecting. But I was like, I'm going to love that my whole life. And I was right.
I feel like I mostly spend money on outerwear or boots.
Sure.
Yeah. I spend a lot of money on outerwear, actually. Yikes.
Well, you.
Yeah.
I've.
But you know what? I'm never fucking cold, so.
I was going to say, you got to go outside, but you don't, so.
But when I do,
right.
I look great.
What fragrance note best describes your personality?
Ooh.
Yours is pepper.
Ooh. I don't think I'm spicy enough to be pepper.
I think you are plenty spicy.
Fair enough. I was like, I'm too lazy to be pepper. And I was like, wait. Pink pepper, though.
Pink pepper, fine.
Pink pepper.
I think I'm coffee.
Ugh, you are coffee.
Because I'm like warm but buzzy.
Yes.
More buzzed. Maybe I missed it, but Atelier Colognes, would love your thoughts. We have an Atelier episode.
A whole episode,
dude. With the gentleman from Atelier. It's this spring. It's really worth checking out. It was a really fun one. I mean, they're all worth checking out. Thank you. Yeah. But
that was a good one.
That was a really, really, it was a really fun one. I think I just got over COVID. Shout out to me.
When are you guys going to do a Sable and Tynan themed sampler sets for merch?
How? We discussed this and I was like, I'll reach out, and I never did. But
I don't even have a contact for.
I do.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about this.
We've like tried to coordinate how this would make sense.
But
because it's weird. Like, I would love to do this, and I know that fragrance brands would happily send over samples, but it feels weird to be like, hey, can you send us a bunch of samples so we can sell them? Like, that's weird.
So one of our brilliant listeners suggested we partner with Lucky Scent, and I think that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Do they do that sort of thing?
They're about to.
Okay. Maybe you should Lucky Scent.
Sable, is there a grown-up version of similar to Clinique Happy? Is that what you just answered?
Oh, yeah. The new Co Mind Energy. Their newest.
No. Oh, yeah. Ooh, really?
Yeah. The new Co's newest fragrance called Mind
Clinique
Energy.
Clinique Happy?
Because it's citrusy and energizing.
Huh.
So, like, when I think of Clinique Happy, I think of, like, energizing citrus scent.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I read Clinique Happy. I'm thinking of Daisy. You're totally right.
Yeah. So, I would recommend the Nuco Mind Energy or Eccentric Molecules 01 Plus Mandarin. Or, well, actually, I just thought of this, and then I was like, wait, is that more grown up? Bath & Body Works Gingham? But that actually might not be grown up. I don't know what you think about that, but...
Try it.
Yeah, Bath & Body Works Gingham to me smells very similar to Clinique Happy.
Best affordable candles under $20.
I don't know.
I would say...
Votives.
Tea Lights.
IKEA.
I would say, honestly, the Target candle section is like the best kept secret in candles. They're not all great, but a lot of them are
good. Mrs. Meyers. The Mrs. Meyers candles, I think, always slap.
What?
The soap company. No?
I don't. I mean, I'm going to trust you on this. I trust you with my life. Okay.
You know the Mrs. Meyers hand soaps?
Yeah.
They make candle versions of them.
I just don't like it. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Okay. I like them.
Okay.
Maybe because they just smell like the soap and I like the soap.
That's fair. Go to Target, troll the candle section.
Also, Target does have good candles.
And also their components are really cute too, you know?
Yeah.
Expensive vibes, but not, which is the point.
I want to say H&M, but I don't know why I think that.
What about in other stores?
Those are like $30. Oh. So if you want something a little more than $20, their candles are also really good. They also do sales in their candles a lot. Huh. So like if you just troll their website.
Okay. Best night cream for normal dry gals.
Ooh.
I'm a night cream queen. I'm sorry. Wait, did I say night cream? Night cream. Oh, yeah. Wait, I have it.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that this answer sucks, but I swear to God it's true and it's not from just me. Everyone loves it. The Fenty Skin night, hyaluronic acid night cream.
Okay.
Genuinely so good.
I've not tried that.
It is very good. It like visibly, I know it's like topical and it's an overnight thing, but it visibly like plumps your skin.
Really?
It's rich, but not like slick and oily.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met one person that does not write for it. As I say this, I'm mad that I'm not using it right now. Fenty Skin is good. Okay, it's fine.
Is it a night cream or is it just a cream that you wear at night?
Yes. it is. Well, it doesn't have an SPF, so that does separate it from their moisturizer.
Yeah, that's like the funny thing with like night. Like the only difference between night and day creams is like whether it has sun protection or not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little. I think I have worn it in the day, but I think it might be a little rich for everyone to wear in the day.
Right.
I can confidently say that.
Okay. My favorite cream for dryness that you can wear in the day or the night, but it is a bit rich, is the Rene Rouleau Phytolipid Comfort Cream.
Because
it's just so incredibly richly hydrating, but it's not greasy. It like sinks in instead of sitting on top of your skin.
Rene Rouleau, the god.
Yes. That. Oh, Make Beauty's new... It's called like Supercell.
I fully requested that and they sent me so many other things and not that. I was like, hey.
Every time they launch something, I get it. I don't know whose list I'm on, but you know
the brand though. I just know the PR.
Yeah, yeah. I get it directly from the brand, not from the PR. Yeah. That's right. But they're like Supercell rich moisturizer is really, really...
Something balm or something.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird. And then they also released like a sleep mask.
Oh, I think that's what I called it.
Yeah. But in my, which they also send me, but I actually think the Supercell cream is more moisturizing than the sleep mask.
Maybe that's what they sent me.
I don't know.
Is it in silver? A chrome component?
Yes.
That's what they sent me.
Yeah, the chrome one.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's well, if you like that one more, then I'm happy then.
Yeah.
This is a good question. When you sit down to write, I'm not wearing my glasses. I can't fucking read anything. When you sit down to write about a fragrance, what are the questions you ask yourself? Actually, that's not the question I thought it was, but that's still a good question.
Okay. I don't think I really ask myself a question. I kind of just go with whatever instinct, wherever the scent takes me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always have a knee-jerk reaction to a scent.
I do too.
And then I just collect my thoughts around that.
Yeah, sometimes with me, it's like if the scent hands me like a concept, then I might write 800 words before I even get to the scent. But that's how I write about it. So you're
welcome. Scent is the one thing I never overthink.
Yeah. It's very instinctual. But sometimes it's also like, this sounds great and here's why. You know, it's just like, it gives you the idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about anything else? Like, do you have a process?
Sorry. I do not have a process.
Neither do I.
Honestly, I think of like the type of person that I've smelled this on before or something similar to it. I think of that.
Sure.
I usually think of fragrances in terms of people or places.
Yeah.
And time. Hi, fellow single mid-30s lady. Would love to hear about dating advice, how to get out there, blah, blah, blah.
I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, that's a big question. I'm not on the apps anymore. I deleted them.
You're not?
No, I go through phases where I just delete because I'm like, this is just like a time suck.
Sure.
I'm not even intentionally doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a slot machine. You just like keep like, burp, burp. And I'm like, I don't even care. I don't know. All of my friends are like, you should get a hobby. And I was like, shut up.
You're writing a book.
Although, yeah, I'm like, I have like so many hobbies.
You have
like
a major book deal. Fuck off.
I play in a band. I
have a podcast.
I have a podcast. I like do. I'm like, yo,
who says that to
I'm good on fucking hobbies, man.
Find them.
They're also like, yeah, you should like take a class or something. I'm like, I'm done with learning. Like, I have enough knowledge.
Yeah, no, I never want to be a student again. Can you tell?
Yeah. I guess the main thing that's an evergreen advice is just like spend time with people who contribute to your energy as opposed to depleting it. And I know that sounds very like...
No, it's good.
Wellnessy, influencery. As a Cancer and a chronic ruminator, if I'm overthinking a person, or, you know, like when you're like constantly wondering about a person and you're wondering what they think of you, if it's just like question marks in your head about a person, it's not the move.
Yeah.
And that's when you have a person in your life.
We've talked about this. Yeah. Wait. Go back to that because that was good.
Yeah. Like if someone is unclear about you, then don't.
Look at us. Don't. What's to be unclear about?
Okay. I'm a cishet woman, so I can only participate in those dynamics. There's like, you know, the generalized dynamics of like so many dudes just being like, I don't want a relationship, and like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro,
so many dudes being, I don't want a relationship.
Yeah, okay. Like I had lunch with a friend this week and we were kind of talking about this and she was like, yeah, I was seeing somebody and then we like went to a party together and then someone asked like, oh, how long have you guys been dating? And then he freaked out. And then later on was like, just so you know, you don't think we're dating, right? And then she was like, what the fuck else would you call what we're doing?
Right. Also, dating as a term isn't serious.
Yeah, exactly. You're going on dates. It's not that deep. You can end things whenever you want.
Like, I think like going on like dating as a term is just something factual that happens.
Yes.
Go away.
Exactly. So like if someone is that way, no.
No.
Cut them the fuck off. And she did. So good for her. But yeah, don't waste your time on people who are unclear about you. And it's fine to not know if you're like want someone to be your partner or whatever. The whole fucking point of dating is that you're just collecting information. Think of it that way. And then, you know, obviously if you enjoy each other, have chemistry, blah, 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 you can like take it forward. But like, when I think about my dating past, everybody who has been honored to have the title of my boyfriend.
Me.
Yeah. Including Tynan. From the get-go has made it clear that they want to be my boyfriend.
There's nothing.
And that's literally the way how you do it.
There's nothing more satisfying than just knowing.
Yeah. Hey. Like, it's fine. If you don't, it's like you can break up with anyone at any time. It's fine. There's nothing that has to be like, this is it.
Yeah.
There's no it anymore.
I love when you get in your bag about this shit. Sable has given me so many just like great little tidbits of information just like that, and I'm like,
the funniest part too is that as soon as I started taking my own advice, I am like so single. Like so single.
Think single rocks,
dude. I am the most single I've ever been as soon as I started taking my own advice, and I was like, oh shit, when I'm actually like doing the things that I know I should be doing, it just means that literally no one adds.
Hey.
But at the same time, I'm like, I am at peace.
Yeah,
that's the thing. No one is allowed to disturb my peace of mind. So if you are not contributing to my energy, then you are destroying it.
I like that.
And away with you be gone.
I think my sort of rule for myself, not that this has ever really been a thing, but is just like, I don't know how to say this. Just like, I don't like to bullshit around. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a pretty, I mean, everyone is a unique person, whatever, but like, I don't think I'm like your run of the mill guy on a dating app.
Absolutely
you know what
not.
I mean? Like, I don't own a gray couch or a blue shirt. You know, it's like, you sort of take one look at me and you're like, okay, this is not like, you know, which is fine. So it's like, you know, you like that or you don't, and that's fine. But it's like, why would I or you or anyone sort of act like any other version of yourself than who the fuck you are on a first, second, third date, whatever, to tone anything down for better or worse, or, you know, soften your edges or this or that. And I mean, I think I'm a pretty likable guy, whatever, but at some point it's like, if you're not telling the truth, then you're lying to both of you.
Yeah, you're doing both of you a disservice.
What are you doing?
Sure.
You know, like, you're wasting your own time and theirs, and like, they should be. One, you shouldn't ever be with someone who's not fucking obsessed with you. And so, like, why be afraid of, like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's just, like, it just...
Absolutely. I have those tendencies as well. And I feel like in the past 2 years, I've very much so looked in the mirror of my own, like, holding myself accountable. And I know that I have a tendency to, like, perform for love.
Sure.
And to people-please.
What do you mean?
Meaning that, you know, like you just said, kind of like toning down or toning up certain parts of your personality to you know, be more likable or more amenable to other people. And that's honestly just something from the past that I've done as a kid.
Yeah.
And I realize that if somebody is triggering that instinct in me to do that, I'm like, ooh, I gotta pump the brakes on this right. and figure out why this person is making me feel like I need to perform for them.
Right.
Because I should not.
Well, and it's like with being the person that I have built myself into, it's like you take one look at me and I've got like, you know, a full face of makeup. I'm wearing a pink suit. I live in a cloud apartment. Like there's not a lot of ways I can hide who the fuck I am. So it's totally. Like, it's going to come out one way or the other. Yeah. So you might as well just get with it from jump.
That's true. I feel like I'm pretty unclear on that. I don't know. A lot of people will tell me, they're like, you're really hard to read.
And I'm
like,
I hear that all the time, too.
Yeah. And part of me is just like, what? Why?
The thing is, though, every time that I have heard that, it's because like, oh, because I don't like you. You know,
or
like, it's
you know what? Like, that's a good point. You know, yeah.
Because like I am very, I don't mind being an easy read if I like you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, why?
No,
I okay. Same. This is a thing about me, though. If I like you, you won't ever hear from me. Like, I will not speak to you if I'm
Wait,
feeling
what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
How if does that work?
Not well. Nah, I just, I'm always, I don't know if I'm
You're
afraid
not
of,
the
like,
initiator.
I am the initiator, okay. always.
I'm never the initiator.
But I don't ever want to be that guy on your phone. I don't ever want to be that guy that you're ignoring a text from. I don't ever want to be that guy that's too much. So, like, I'll be there when I want to be there. But, like, if otherwise, you won't ever hear from me, which probably does not work in my benefit.
Yeah. I was going to say, you got to put a little bit of effort.
But when I show up, I show out.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, maybe that's just not your quote-unquote love language.
I don't know.
You know? Yeah. I'm not a verbal affirmations person. I'm like a gestural, like, I'll do nice shit for you. I'll remember the shit that you say you like, mm-hmm. and then...
You will.
Then bring it around again. It's like when stand-up comedians do like a...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you call it. They come back around to a joke they did at the right. beginning. It's like that. And I'm like, bam.
Right.
Full circle. I love you.
My love language is touch and words of affirmation, but like definitely touch. And I don't mean that in a horny way. Mostly.
No, it's like physical affection. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I like physical affection. I like when people, I like all of them.
Same.
That's something I'm like. I like.
The other thing that I'm trying to work on in that part of my life, because I have been going on like a couple dates with a couple guys, whatever, and they've all been flops, but is like listening to my intuition for myself and everyone else involved, because I'm not good at that. I'm good at that in every aspect of my life except that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, and you, because you always know.
Yeah.
You
That's,
always...
I feel like because people overthink other people so much, it's hard to weed out your own instinct mm-hmm. or your own intuition, because it's the easiest, quickest response you'll ever get, but because we're so used to overthinking things, we just overthink it too
and
much.
Rationalizing and balancing.
Yeah.
But it's never wrong.
It's never wrong, dude.
I do have horrible news.
Oh.
I'm about to cut this out.
Okay.
I did go on a date this week. And it went really well. It was like really nice.
Okay.
I was like, ugh.
How was it about
this? Like not this.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
The last nice date I went on, I never heard from him again. Yeah. And then I deleted all the apps because I was like, wait, so you can go on good dates with people and still never hear from them again.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Yeah, that I was like, this is fucked. This isn't like this is broken. Right. This whole system is broken. Yeah. I'm deleting them. Good day forever.
Bye.
Yeah. He probably thinks I like unmatched him, which isn't untrue. I just unmatched the world. Unmatch the world. Anyway, that took a swerve. Another question. Back to scent. A fragrance for someone who likes patchouli, but just a subtle amount.
It's all you. I hate patchouli.
I would say YSL Black Opium Extrait.
We're going to come back to this answer. Wait, what? Patchouli?
Yeah, that's like hella patchouli in there.
The one that you did the ad for?
I did the ad for the regular version, but the extreme version is much more coffee and patchouli.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in this.
Okay. If you could have a sandwich named after you, what would be it?
I've never heard a more stable question.
I love this question so much. As I'm just like, oh my God, so many things that probably don't go together. Prosciutto, or some sort of Italian cured meat, like prosciutto, soppressata, speck. Maybe all three. Who knows? Have a heart attack. Why not? Mozzarella is too soft, though. You need like a little bit of a spicier cheese to go with it. Maybe like Parmesan or something like Parmesan. Olive oil, arugula, basil, tomato, honey, wild card. And it has to be on focaccia. I want an Italian sub.
That's so funny because that's like exactly what mine would be.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
They're the sandwiches.
Except I would put an olive tamponade on it.
Ooh,
like a muffaletta moment.
Yes. Something olivey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Italians just make the best sandwiches.
Period. Say that.
Yes. Oh, God, I'm hungry now. What's a fragrance you've changed your mind about recently?
I never changed my mind.
Ooh. Glossier You.
I went from despising it to not minding it.
You know what? Okay, I did have an answer for this, but I didn't want to say it. But now that you said that, I'm going to say this. Okay. Santal 33.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I remember that swerve. I remember it well.
I feel how I felt about it, and my feelings are valid, but I'm a little softer on it now.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's like a big deal for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Who yes. never changes their mind.
You know, exactly.
Why does Tynan hate Benefit Cosmetics?
Because they're a racist company that does bad business. Next question.
I feel like you've said that before.
I have.
How do you compliment someone's aroma manipulative?
Rodeo, shut up.
I love this.
Wait, I keep losing my place.
Manipulative.
Oh, here we go.
I feel like the really dramatic way to do it is to start big and then narrow it down.
Yeah.
So you could be like, God, something smells really good in here. What is it? And then go, like, it's not this. It's not this. And then get closer and closer. And you're like, I think it's you.
Oh, I see that. That is haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Hate that.
Mm-hmm.
What brand does Tynan work for his 9-to-5? And what does he do? Can y'all see the fuck out of my business, please?
Is it normal for people to blast their employment side of?
I don't know. I've stopped. I was like, I know we talk about work all the time, but yeah. like I've tried to stop like doing that. I like talking about my Instagram bio.
I know everybody puts their employer in their social media bios, and I have low-key always thought that was weird.
I've very much been that girl for years. So
yeah.
I still have my bylines, and that, which I know is tacky, but I'm like, I work for those.
Yeah, everybody does it. But I've always thought that was weird because that means that if you do something problematic on social media, your work will have more of a reason to fire you.
Mm.
Or I don't know, depending on what it is. Then everyone will be like, oh, they work for them. Let's harass their employer to fire. I don't know why people get such weird fucking kicks out of getting people fired.
It's power.
Yeah, it's like a weird power thing.
I'm a senior copywriter at Equinox, and okay. I freelance my balls off. So I
Yeah, you do.
So yeah. I'm the creative team there.
Wow.
Are you happy? Which I still very much consider beauty.
Yeah, body, wellness.
They've got the spa, they've got the hotel. It's a lifestyle.
Wait, they have a spa?
Mm-hmm. Almost every club has a spa. Yeah.
Wait, so can you like get massages and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have a friends and family?
No, but I'll book one as me, and then you can just go with your hair up. They won't, they won't know the difference.
I'm tired. They'll never know.
They'll be like, you're not as loud.
Dude, I would be doing that like once a week, but I don't want a job, so never. Right. It's not worth it for me.
This is a good question for you. How do you explore fragrance without going broke?
Samples, dude.
Samples, that's also Lucky Scent. The Lucky Scent is an online fragrance retailer that does like super niche, super high-end fragrances, which I know does not translate to not going broke. However, they will vial out almost any, unless it's like deathly expensive, any fragrance on their site for you for like $3, $4, $5, not even $5, probably $4.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go spend $25, $30
yeah.
on a bunch of really nice scents and get, I don't know, 5 or 6. I can't do math. Do it yourself. But I've worked with them a couple times, and they've sent me a ton of like really expensive vials that wouldn't have cost me more than $30. And they're also things that, one, I wouldn't have been able to find anywhere else, much less have the experience of actually wearing it on my body. So that's a great way.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Also, like Sable always says, discovery scents are great.
Yes. The cool thing about discovery sets is more brands are doing this now, but mm-hmm. they'll give you like a little discount towards the purchase of a full size, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there are services or websites that will decant out all sorts of fragrances for you. So you can purchase, and you can purchase by size. So like however many milliliters of a sample you want, that's one way to do it. 10 milliliters is kind of a lot.
These little guys will get you a lot of wear.
Yeah.
You know, if you're serious about going through that, that's going to, I mean.
The 2 milliliter size, which is usually the standard sample size, like I will get like 3 or 4 wears out of that.
Oh,
like,
fully. I'll get a week and a half maybe.
Yeah, and I'm honestly a generous spritzer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Also, many people did not know this, including myself, but if you're one of the 4 people on earth that still shops in department stores, they usually have sample vials of everything on the counter, and if they don't, they can
they'll make one for
decant
you.
One for you.
Yeah.
Sephora as well.
Does that too. Yeah.
So don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
That's how they sell.
That is how they sell.
You know, they want to get these samples
just
in
like
their hands.
Ask for stuff.
Yeah.
Be that person.
Right. And I know talking to the fragrance counter people is a nightmare, believe me, but if it gets you something to wear home.
Yeah.
thoughts and opinions on the wedding scent concept. I believe what they're referring to is a lot of people will have a thing where they will buy and wear a fragrance for the first time on their wedding day. So it always reminds them of that. And then maybe on their anniversaries or whatever, whenever they want to revisit that. I think it's cute. It's super romantic.
It's cute.
Fragrance, memory, and love. It's like my big three or whatever. So yeah, of course I love that. It's great. Do whatever you want.
I like the idea of having a scent made for your wedding. Like,
same.
That's cool. That's fucking baller
same.
Shit.
Same. And you both wear it.
Yeah. Now that's cool. Why is it so hard for perfumers to make an Aroli or Orange Blossom last more than 10 minutes?
Because they're light.
I think that's a, yeah, like they're top notes. They're here for a good time and a long time. How do you work without working?
That's a question for you.
I feel like that's directed at me.
That's absolutely a you question. I just took on another gigantic freelance project, so.
Okay, I feel like people have this perception that I, like, don't work.
It's because you say every episode that you don't work.
Because I'm trying to battle the like, hustler industrial complex.
Meanwhile, I'm absolutely not trying to battle that at all.
The girl boss industrial complex where everyone's like, achieve, achieve, achieve. What are you achieving? Like, I work as hard as I need to cover my bills and have enough money to support the lifestyle that I have grown accustomed to, which includes lots of Italian sandwiches,
yeah,
lots of stupid expensive coffees, yep, and like a trinket every now and then.
Yeah.
I don't really spend that much money. Now that I think about it, the thing I spend the most money on is food, because
yeah,
I love to eat. That's yeah, like where all my money goes, mm-hmm, and some house knickknacks. So I freelance. I'm a freelance writer. I'm writing a book. I still haven't gotten that advance money yet. It's been 6 months, but whatever. I'm working on it. I mean, I'm at a place now, at least in my career, where I mostly field assignments. I only pitch things when I just come up with good ideas that I don't want to do for free, mm-hmm, and that I can demand a rate that's like higher than standard. But that's because I've had a career in, yes, editorial where, you know, I have like shit on my resume.
Yeah, I mean, like we've, yeah, done all the things that, yeah, we got paid shit for.
Exactly, which just means that, and like that, it's not like some writers are worth more money than others because it's the same amount of work. I think it's just that the types of projects I go for are just like higher paying stuff.
Yeah.
And I would rather work on bigger projects that pay more than lots of little projects that are easier to do.
Yep. That's exactly why I've done all this brand work all year, because it's, yes, like I love editorial, but yeah, it's like if you want to, it's like I can write 10 articles over, mm-hmm, a month, or I could do spend 5 hours on a project and make,
exactly,
the same amount of money.
Yeah.
You, yeah, know, and it's not, no, actually it is about the money.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's 100%. It's about the money and the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have all the bylines I need,
yes,
and I'm grateful for each and every one of them, but it's like,
yeah,
if I'm going to do anything, if I'm going to work in my spare time,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to get paid
you
for
have
it.
A full. I don't understand how you do this with a full-time job. Like, that's insane to me.
It's all I've ever known. It's a freelancer. Yeah. I will always be a freelancer first.
That's true. I think I was way more of a hustler when I had a real job.
You know what? Okay. And also, I was thinking about this because it's like, I am truly, like, I'm so lucky to have, like, this amazing job that I love that, you know, pays me a living wage, yeah, and to have all of these freelance opportunities, both editorial and brand, coming my way. I'm getting everything I've always wanted, and I don't mean that sounds psycho because it's like I've never, like, I don't want work, but you know, the brands that are approaching me are brands I've always like really loved and yeah, wanted to work with and
no,
for.
That's great,
so I'm not,
yeah,
gonna say no, but I was thinking there was someone I was when I got the job at Equinox, mm-hmm, where I work, they really gave, they like ran me a bag. They gave me, mm-hmm, more, mm-hmm, money than I was asking for. And so that was great. And I was having a conversation with someone right after I started that I was just talking about a freelance thing I was doing. And they were like, oh, I thought since you got this Equinox job, you didn't need to freelance anymore.
It's not about need.
And I was like, that question hit me so hard because I was like, yeah, I make good money, whatever that means. But it's like, I don't, and I never like wanted for anything growing up or whatever. Like,
yeah,
so I've always been fine, but I there will never be enough money coming in that I will think like, oh, I don't need more. Not need, sorry, but like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I will never make enough to like, not
to
be like oh
money,
yeah, I'm going to turn down
$3,000.
Really? You know what I mean?
See, I do that all the time.
No, I don't know. It's just like, why?
I turned down a lot of paychecks,
also,
to be honest.
The person who said this to me has never worried about money in their lives.
Oh.
So it was sort of that I was like, oh, we look at money completely different ways.
It really depends on how you look at money.
I don't know. It's just like everything I have in my life, I've bought myself.
Yeah.
And same. Does that make any fucking sense? It's like,
yeah.
It's not
and about. I think also you still have a freelancer mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which I understand.
Yeah.
I'm like just emerging from the freelancer mindset.
Sure.
Where I will turn down like a $6,000 project because I'm like, oh, well, this is boring.
Also,
I don't want to do this.
I've been lucky though. Like, yeah, I wouldn't take something I didn't want to do. Also, yeah. I got a lot of cool shit done this year. But yeah, it was just like, what does that mean that I don't need, like, one, I'm not doing this because I need to, but two, like, in what world would I turn down $4,000 for something I want to do?
Yeah, if you want to do it. But if it's like, here's $4,000 to do something that you don't want to do.
If this sounds psycho, I'm sorry.
That's different. It's like that Kim Cattrall quote where she's like, I don't want to
be in a situation.
Even for an hour. I just think like, so I don't need to do shit I don't want to do.
I was raised by a stockbroker and a business owner. I don't have it in me to like leave money on the table. Also, like I'm single and like I'm, what the fuck else am I doing?
That's,
getting drunk?
Yeah.
Like, I stayed until 11 last night and worked and then went out and got drunk. Like, you can have it all. Anyway.
It's like the reason you have money. Like, the whole reason that I have money is so I don't have to work.
Yeah.
So like, that's how I view it.
Well, like, I'm sorry. Like, money is my only sense of security.
Mm.
Oops.
Oops. You just got too real.
I
think that's true for a lot of people.
I don't ever want to be broke again.
Yeah. And dude, yeah. I never want to be broke again, but I'm pretty good with money.
I am too,
I'm very good at saving.
I am too.
I always have been. Mm-hmm. And luckily, when I went to college, I went to a state school, I was on scholarship, and I also had to be an RA for free housing. So I don't have any debt from that. I have like a little bit of credit card debt, but nothing unmanageable.
Yeah.
I don't spend out of my means as well.
No, neither do I.
I don't have a shopping addiction or anything like that. I remember in my 20s, my rich girlfriends who like came from wealthy families, they were always in tons and tons of credit card debt. And it stressed me the fuck out because I was like, how do you live like this?
Mm.
And then I realized it's because I'm like, oh, you're just used to that. Like, that's normal to you to just spend money and worry about how you're going to pay for it later.
Mm.
And then they got into a lot of arguments about their parents cutting them off and stuff. But I was like, oh, sucks to be you depending on someone for money. Whereas no one controls me.
Right. Exactly.
All it takes is being in one bad relationship and cohabitating with them and not being able to leave because you don't feel financially secure to be like, I will never fucking be in that position again.
Yep.
So that's on that. I feel like that didn't answer the question at all.
I think it did.
How do you work that work?
Oh, yeah. It didn't answer at all. No, it did. It did. Yeah.
Maybe a little. Sift through that. Sift.
How do you get out of your own way and write/create without judgment of yourself? That's a really good question.
Mm.
I
don't.
Like,
I simply don't.
I don't. No, like, when you're writing. So, I mean, like, I write about beauty, all right? And which is good because it's like one step removed from anything personal, but beauty is inherently personal. So, like, I don't think of my writing as personal, but it is also deeply personal. So it's like, that is what I tell myself as my shield to be like, this can't go, like, you can't get, I'm a very private girl. So, but it's like, oh, it's about makeup. It's not about me. It's fine.
Okay.
So that's like my way in to get kind of crazy and personal. Cause like, I'm lying to myself the whole time. I just like, why would you judge yourself when you're writing? It's your shit and no one else is going to see it but you. If you don't want them to, go nuts.
But what if someone is going to see it?
Then don't turn it in until you're ready for them to see it. You know, it's writing is your own secret until you choose to tell it.
I heard this on a science podcast. I forget which one, that basically it said as an individual, you are incapable of perceiving yourself accurately.
Hmm.
Like there is literally no way that you can perceive yourself accurately because you're a person with thoughts and feelings and that's always going to be subjective.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But then it actually like kind of freed me because I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about it then. Because the way I see myself is not necessarily accurate to who I am or what I'm about. You know, that can go either way, obviously, but it just has freed me from overthinking things that I do or how I think I'm coming off, which you have to consider that like everybody is kind of just thinking about themselves. They're really not overthinking you. Nothing's personal.
And also like, I think the act of writing your thoughts down on paper or writing anything is inherently brave. And like, I think people respond to that positively. And I don't think people like go to some, this is a lie as I say it, but like go to something with bad intentions to tear it apart. I know that they do, like, hello, the internet. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think if it's for you, let it be for you and have a lot of fun and explore until it's not for you or it's not fun, then stop doing it. But like, you know,
there's always like, and I do this a lot with writing. I think I've just gotten very quick to just erase a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I do not participate in sunk cost fallacies when it comes to writing. I will just erase everything. Also, like, step away from your shit.
I don't know what you just said.
Okay.
Fallacies?
Sunk cost fallacy.
I don't know what it is.
It's like when you keep investing in something that you know isn't it.
Okay. I'm with you.
That's good. Anyway, the best things I've written just kind of come to me like in a, like a lightning flash, which is like, I think a lot of writers feel that way, but it's also like not an efficient way to have a career because you can just like wait for inspiration to strike. But when I'm forcing myself to write something and I can feel it being like very postured,
yeah,
when I know that I'm subconsciously trying to come off a certain way,
sure,
and then I come back and read it hours later, I'm like, ew, it's so obvious that I'm trying to come off a certain way. I'm not communicating what I'm actually trying to say.
Yeah.
Then erase it all, get rid of it, and then just do it over and be like, just say the thing you wanted to say.
But that's, I mean, that's a right, and like that's the right and the edit, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
no, totally, 100%. Yeah. I have a tendency to be verbose when writing. I will always overwrite anything.
Yeah.
And then come back and cut shit down. And that's like the best thing is like, how can I say this thing in the most minimal way possible?
Brevity, baby.
Brevity. Also, like, if you don't want to judge yourself, just like,
have a drink. I'm kidding.
It's almost like when you give a friend advice, like a friend that you care for and are affectionate towards, like, imagine your friend who you care for wrote that and then give them advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, some of my best shit has been something that, like, really scared me or felt like a risk as a writer or a person. And yeah, so like, had I have let myself get in my own way, those would have never happened. Like the fucking thing that I won the Fragrance Foundation Award for.
That was such a beautiful piece.
Thanks. But that was...
Well, yeah. It was very vulnerable.
Why the hell did I put that on paper? You know? But thank God I did, because like...
And it won an award.
It won an award. We love the accolades.
Scent of technically non-scented objects that you're drawn to.
That's such a good question.
I love that.
Example of construction paper, also from the question.
Coffee,
gasoline,
pencils, like a freshly sharpened number two pencil. I actually kind of like the smell when like the radiators turn on for the first time in the winter, and like it's like roasting the dust
hot,
on them.
Yeah, and like hot metal.
It's very cozy.
I like tire tread.
You do. You've mentioned that a lot.
It's for my upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like any like automotive smell.
Yeah. It just reminds me of, because my dad's an auto mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad in the bike store, but same things.
Dad's on wheels.
God. For the longest time, I thought Tynan's last name was Buck. What's the meaning for the handle? It means that I was 19 and I was drunk in college and I didn't fucking realize this shit was going to follow me to my grave, okay? I would have made it my last name.
You can change your username.
I know, but it's been so long.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever, who cares?
Okay. Have you ever successfully overridden a strong scent memory with a new one?
No, and I never will.
I think you can override it just by messing with the context of the fragrance.
Look at me sobbing about what I'm wearing for 20 minutes at the beginning of this episode. No, I can never forget anything. Date a new guy.
Spritz it on him.
Right.
Hopefully he doesn't catch on.
Seriously. I really like this one. How does scent affect your appearance, i.e. makeup inspired by a fragrance?
Mm.
For me, it's always the other way around.
Wait, what?
So, if I...
Like makeup inspires a scent?
Yeah. Like if I'm wearing like a... I mean, I usually wear pink eyes of some sort. I will... Okay. Not always, because I'm doing all this shit, but like that'll make me want to wear like a pink fragrance or a fragrance that like smells pink.
Oh, I feel that. Because fragrance is like the last thing we put on. Uh-huh. So like, yeah.
Sometimes I'll like do my skincare, put on the fragrance, because I do my makeup in my underwear.
Yeah. No, same.
So I'll do my skincare, put on my fragrance so it has time to heat up to my skin without touching my clothes. I'll do my makeup and then I'll get dressed. But like if I do like a purple eye, I'll wear the Andy Warhol scent because it's really heavy on plum and berry. Or the only colors I wear are like pink and purple, but things like that. So I guess it goes in reverse.
I'm with you on that. I think appearance, aesthetic affects my scent choice.
Mm-hmm.
more than the other way around.
Yeah, but it happens more often than you think.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's like a mood too.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm feeling very fluffy today, so okay. I'm going to wear my fluffy scents, yeah. like stuff like that.
Which fragrance in your collection would make the most interesting person? That's a really good question,
but it's difficult.
Can't answer it. Because I think that they would, most of them would make really cool people.
Yeah, I think a lot of them would.
I think we are the cool people.
We are them. Next question.
Do you have the one that got away in fragrance? Also a great question. Ooh. And I do.
Go on.
John Varvatos Rock Volume 1.
I'm sorry, the name of that is so cringe.
It's terrible. But there was never Volume 2, so what's good?
Oh.
It's the one I think it probably...
I know you love John Varvatos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Varvatos, goddamn, I always say that wrong. Wait, and I will until I die.
Is it Varvatos or Varvatos?
It's Varvatos.
Okay. Barbados.
John so Barbados. You were right. But it's, I think I talked about it on the last Q&A, but it's the one that he put out in 2009, question mark. And
was it like one of the Jonas Brothers? Huh?
No, but okay. It had had like coffee in it, and I just can't find it. I've searched the ends of the earth to find it, and I can't.
Weird.
It's definitely the one that got away.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, got away. Like, is discontinued?
Probably that, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I have a really... short-term. I'm like a hamster man.
I didn't notice that this one until just now. I want to hear some of the most egregious things that brands ask of you.
Egregious.
Oh, no.
God damn it.
That's so cute.
I knew that was wrong as I said it. No.
That's, I'm the one who mispronounces
that. That's going to haunt me till I die.
No, it made me think of that. The recent SNL episode with Simu Liu,
who is hot,
who's super hot, and there was a bit where he was like competitively with Bowen Yang, and they were like the first Asian man to do this. Someone's like, oh, Bowen, this award came in for you, the first Asian man to mispronounce the word boutique, and then he goes, it's not boutique.
I could pass it off as not wearing my glasses, but I just fucked it up. I did think in my defense that there was one more G and I just ran with it. I was like, this probably means something.
I love it.
Help me.
Anyway.
Can you read that?
Okay. The question is, I want to hear some of the most egregious things brands ask of you.
To work for free.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 100% that.
Suck my dick.
So many brands are like, well, it's a partnership. I'm like,
for who, bitch?
Yeah. No, you're not using that word correctly. No. So many.
Speaking of not using a word correctly,
I'll just stop responding. I will like not even. So many brands have asked me. They're like, "We admire your work so much," and then they're like, "Do it for free," and I'm like, "End communication."
Yeah.
And then they keep emailing to follow up, and I was like, "Silence is an answer."
Silence is an answer. Also, yeah. When brands, if you like, if one of us does a fragrance story,
yeah,
you know, as we do. Or a story on anything, and a publicist sees it,
yep.
and handles a brand that they would want in it or would yep. have liked to have in it, they will send and pitch you and be like, hey, saw your article on these fragrances, think you'd really like this one, can you update your article?
Fuck off.
Fuck you. If you would have done your job in the first place, I would have had the fragrance and I could have put it in if I liked it. Like...
Which also reminds me of like this very common thing a lot of publicists do that I think all of them should stop doing, which is they'll just email you and ask you what you're working on.
Oh my God. That the screenshot I sent you, that email from like a week or two ago.
It's like nothing, no helpful hints. It's just like, what are you working on? And I was like, I'm sorry. Who do I report to you?
Exactly.
Fuck off.
This publicist sent me this astoundingly daft email a few weeks ago. She was like, I know that like you're getting a lot of emails from a lot of publicists and I don't want to clog up your inbox. If you could just tell me what you're working on, I'll tell you what brands would be good. Or if you could just send me your editorial calendar so I know what you've got coming up, I can pitch you for that. I was like, are you like, who in their right
mind? I
feel
like I want to forward that to their manager and be like, stop.
You said like, tell the brands I handle. Yeah. Like throw the scroll onto the, it's so unprofessional.
It's so bad.
In what world is someone going to send their publication's editorial calendar to a publicist? Are you kidding me? Go to hell. Take me to dinner.
Yeah, also that. What's the most foul perfume you've ever smelled?
Oh, easy.
Easy. I think we both agree.
Yep.
Secretions Magnifique.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Violent.
Nightmarish.
What do you do with all the fragrance you get from brands that you don't like? Both Sable and I are very good about donating anything that we don't use.
Yeah. Come to my house and you'll walk away with a bag.
We give away a lot, and then we, like, to our friends and family, and then we donate everything that we don't use. We both hate wasting. I hate wasting.
I hate clutter.
Yes, same. Yeah. I hate wasting product. I hate wasting money. I hate wasting time. Yeah. I will never, and I know that people, like, need things. Not everyone gets all this shit for free, so I want it to make, I want people to use things. Yeah. So we are good about that. Nothing ever gets thrown out.
What do you think most people get wrong about fragrance? That there's fragrances for men and there's fragrances for women.
I was going to say, like, the heavily gendering of scent. Mm-hmm. Free yourself of gender.
Free yourself. What's your favorite cold soup?
God, I'm being trolled.
I have an answer.
I'm being trolled by my friends.
All of your friends have, like, my favorite questions.
Okay, every time that we post a Q&A, all of my friends jump in with just the nastiest shit. And I'm like, I have to go in and delete all of these things.
I wish you hadn't, because I feel like I would have liked them. Anyway, my favorite cold soup is naengmyeon.
What is that?
It's a Korean summer dish. It's a cold beef broth with buckwheat noodles. And there's, like, little slices of beef. I feel like we've had it together. Beef.
I think we have,
like, pear slices, oddly. Mustard and vinegar. Oh, it's so good. It's so tasty.
Nice.
Best fragrance with coffee and or chocolate.
Wait, this is infuriating. All I want to do, the only reason I want a boyfriend is so he can teach me how to work my phone or just do
it for
me.
Wait, what did you do?
I don't know.
I'll be your phone boyfriend.
I know you are my phone boyfriend, honestly. There we go. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Okay.
Best fragrance with coffee and or chocolate. Acro Awake and Acro Dark.
Agreed, but my answer is different.
How is it agreed then?
Because I like you. Mine is YSL's Black Opium Intense.
Oh, yes.
I know you introduced me to it. You talked about it first. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, that is one of my absolute favorite fragrances of the year. That fragrance is so, so astoundingly good.
So good.
It's so coffee. It's so chocolate.
I think it's way more coffee than chocolate.
I agree, but I think the chocolate in it gives it a lot of depth and a lot of, like, sweetness.
Yeah.
It is so good. Yeah. I just always wish I was wearing it. It is astounding.
Yeah.
And I love that it's, like, from a mainstream brand, like, LOL. LOL. And that's my review. I don't need it. Okay, this is a name of a fragrance. I don't need a prince by my side to be a princess by Killian. Is that a fuck girl scent?
Yes.
It's from that awful line of Killian scents with, like, Pinterest names. I don't think it's a fuck girl scent because I think a fuck girl, fuck boy scent denotes ubiquity. And I don't think that's ubiquitous enough, but if it's a fuck girl scent to you, then
I think
that's valid.
Slutty scent.
Oh, a slutty scent for sure.
Yes.
All Killian scents are slutty.
Fair enough, but especially from that collection.
Yeah.
I remember the launch party for that, and
something went horribly wrong, because I do like the scents. The names are garbage.
The scents are a bit much for me, to be honest.
This is good. I am working as an editor for an art magazine, but I also want to delve into beauty. Any advice? You're ready for it. You're an editor already, so you know
that's true.
What they're looking for.
Just start writing stories that would be appropriate for your art magazine that have beauty to do with it.
Exactly. Or, you know how to pitch and you know how to write. So you're more than halfway there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're a good writer. Send a strong pitch email with a strong article. You may have to write the article first, honestly.
I've never done that.
Yeah, but you are an established writer.
Yeah, but even when I wasn't.
Right.
Like, that to me just seems weird.
Yeah. I think you have to write enough the pitch then to, like...
Write a good pitch.
Yeah.
Show that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Don't worry about this, girl. You got it.
Make it unique. Pitch it to the right outlet that you think would be interested in that concept or whatever. And make sure it hasn't already been published.
Yes. Also that.
Yes.
What do you think is the next scent that will be inescapable? The next Santal 33 or Baccarat Rouge 540?
Maybe I just don't travel in the same circles as people, but, like, I feel like Baccarat Rouge 540, like, is not super ubiquitous to me. Like, I don't know these girls.
I would agree with you, but I keep seeing it pop up in places that I wouldn't expect it, or from people that I wouldn't expect it from.
Okay.
Which makes me think it is more ubiquitous than I think. I'm with you, but I think I keep getting proved wrong.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think my answer, probably a lot to do with me, is not JK, is Cloud.
I feel like Cloud is already that level.
That's true.
It's just, like, a different crowd.
Yeah. I feel like Mojave Ghost is well on its way.
I think it's been on its... True. I think that's one of the more ubiquitous burrito scents.
Yeah,
I agree. Mojave Ghost. I was going to say something with Ice Hobby Super. Probably, like, the Eccentric Molecules L1.
Okay.
And scents like those.
Yeah.
Something that smells like nothing.
Yeah. I think what helps these two examples, Santal and Baccarat Rouge, be get to like the level of commonality that you're referring to is they both do a good job of not being gendered, which does really help like widen the scope. And, you know,
I feel like Baccarat Rouge 540 is pretty gendered.
Do you? To who?
I feel like every time I've heard, and like I own it.
Yeah.
But like every time I've heard people describe it and stuff, it's that it's like a very feminine scent.
Okay. And I could be wrong saying that, yeah. But I, to me, it's like, you're going to get, you know, to be a temple fragrance like that faster, yep, if you are not for women, for men. And yep, to my knowledge, the both are not. But I could
They're not right. Intended.
Yeah. I think Rouge certainly leans feminine. Don't
yes,
get me wrong.
Yes, yes, yes. I was going to say that brand, like Maison Marie Louis.
Ah, yeah.
They have one that everyone raves about, mm-hmm, and they rave about it specifically because they say it smells exactly like Santal 33.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's, I don't know if that answers the question, but it's like, oh, that might just be the next Santal 33.
Can you just get a new idea, please?
Yeah.
Have a little fucking fun.
Does rubbing your wrists after spraying a fragrance actually degrade it? Sounds like BS, but IDK.
I think that is true.
That is true, actually, yeah, because it crushes and smushes the molecules. Mm-hmm. At the fragrance.
You can tap, so don't, but don't rub.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was told never to tap.
I probably don't want you to tap either, but.
Don't touch them.
Yeah.
No touching.
Yeah.
Stop touching. What do we think of Urban Outfitters fragrances? Do they still do fragrance?
Yeah, and they have a couple, not that I've been to Urban Outfitters in like, years. This is literally from Urban Outfitters. I bought it last week.
They're nice.
They have a few, people like them a lot. Yeah. That's the one brand that I told everyone that was full of carcinogens.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. I'm sorry. Yeah, people like them a lot. They're cute and small.
Yeah,
and
they're not that expensive.
Very gourmand. I really
like
them.
They are very gourmand.
They have a couple in store, but I looked online and they have like 20 cents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they all sound lovely. Okay. So the ones that I have smelled, I really like.
Cool.
Oh my God, wait. I don't even want to ask this one. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done in a moment of passion?
Stick around.
Hey! All right, yeah. That's
my answer. Run us through how you guys record and edit the podcast.
I don't know that you need all that.
BTS, behind the scenes of Smell You Later. We hit record on, we use this program called Descript.
Don't give them a plug.
We use this program called Descript.
From hell.
Yes.
From hell.
It is a program from hell. Because if it worked smoothly, it would be incredible. It would be unimpeachable. It would be the one.
And by the way, we pay for this.
Yes.
This is a paid service.
We have to pay for this.
And what is so good about it is that it transcribes the interview above the sound bar. So you can edit in the bar or you can edit like a Word document. It's incredible.
That's great. But it's laggy as fuck. And it's just so slow that it takes like hours.
Rage. It is simultaneously the best and worst thing I've ever used.
Agree. Anyway, Descript, if you're listening, what the fuck?
And we reached out to them like a few times one time. And then one time they reached out for us for feedback. And Sable sent an email that was like, you know what, guys? Gotta be honest, it's not very good. And what did they hit you back? They're like, thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, it was just like a,
thank you.
Are you
fucking kidding me?
I was like, either, like, come on, man. Come on.
Not to block anyone's bag, but like, yo.
For real. so we hit record on Descript. I have an audio interface. It has two inputs because that's all you need. Mm-hmm. And we just talk for however long we talk. And then we edit and it takes hours and we're enraged. And then we upload it and then write a stupid little description and do a stupid little Instagram post. And there you go.
Sable's a little bit more of the IT girl because we record at her place usually. Yeah. She'll upload it into Descript. And then I typically will jump in first to edit.
Yeah.
I'm like really precious with the edit. We both care like really deeply about the quality of the show. Not so much about the content sometimes, but I'm kidding.
Quality.
I'm very anal about all that. And lately in the first couple months, I was like crazy about it. I had to like take away like every vocal tick, every like, every but lately I have learned that like we just all have a rhythm to how we speak, and sometimes like you can't lose some of that shit because that is part of the anatomy of the way that you sound. And when you chop it up too much, you start sounding like a robot, and then what do you lose? Like the quality of the show. And like as long as you're not liking and umming too much, no one's gonna catch it. But people are always like, oh my God, you sound so good. Like, you never stutter, you never say like. And it's like, no. I spend five hours a weekend editing this shit down.
I have it on good authority that most people who do podcasts also edit the shit out of their likes and
ums. You should. You don't want to like.
Which, like, it makes sense. But again, you can keep some in if it sounds natural.
Oh, yeah. I don't judge anyone for how much they edit their shit. Look at what I do to this show.
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to podcasts that, like, very clearly don't edit.
Yes.
And, like, they're very popular podcasts. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just like, where the fuck are you going with this?
Right.
I think, like, flow, it's more of my concern. Because we go on some tangents.
Yeah.
And some of the tangents we do take out if we're just like, what the fuck is this? But
there's one recent one that I am surprised that you took out. It was more your end than mine, though, once I wasn't.
Yeah, sometimes I'll, like, you know, when you look at things in edit and then you're like, is this going to age well?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then I'm like,
not even age well. I just, you know, we don't ever want to be that inflammatory.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So... Yeah, it takes a lot of time, but I love editing, honestly. I did a lot of, like, video editing in college, and, like, when we started this, I was terrified of editing. The first night, I was like, wait, I love this. What am I talking about?
I love adding in, like, the little sound effects.
Oh, so all the funny sounds and shit, those all come from Sable. I don't think in that way.
I want everything to sound and look like a cartoon.
Yeah, so. No, it's so funny. Like, I'll listen back before we, or maybe sometimes after we post, just to make sure, like, it didn't upload crazy. And I'll hear all her little bouncy sound effects. I'm like, shh, this girl's funny.
That's how we do it.
Oh, I didn't see this one. What do you wear when you want to turn everyone at the bar on? By the fireplace, by Replica, period. Yes.
You love that one.
People smell that and their clothes fall off their body. I'm not kidding. Try it.
For me, I feel like that smell is Narciso Rodriguez for her.
You love the black bottle. I gotta get that.
It's just like a plume of white florals, which is, it's called for her. It reads very feminine, but, like, that shit gets compliments out the ass.
Okay.
And I feel like if you're a fan of Fracas, like Robert P.A. Fracas, it's similar because it's just like a bouquet of white florals.
Sure.
I don't know what it is about florals. Like, we're not floral girls.
No.
But that one is that's the one. That's the flirty scent.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually really love all of Narciso Rodriguez's scents, but they do read very bombastically feminine to me. And, like, that's part of their charm, I think, is that they just, like, go for it.
Their imaging is really beautiful.
Yes. I love the bottles, too.
It's very understated. They play into the color of the bottles really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I always like their thumb-stopping visuals, as any dumbass marketing department would say. Actually, Machine Gun Kelly's nail polish line looks a lot like the Narciso Rodriguez brand images. Yeah.
Oh.
Just like in the way that they, like...
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Their newest one in that family, Musk Noir, is also, I think, very feminine.
Feminine.
Very flirty. What do you do when you accidentally put on too much perfume?
I was in the closet last night and I was about to go out and spray something on me, but I was also thinking, like, girl, what are you going to wear tomorrow? I took a cap off of a fragrance, but it took the atomizer off too.
Oh, no.
So it was just like I opened a bottle of liquor. Oh, I was like, wait. And then I was all over my hands and my walls. And so I was suddenly wearing a lot of a fragrance, and girl, there's nothing you can do, honestly. Sometimes you just got to commit.
Yeah. Change your clothes.
Put on a bold lip.
Okay. Either change your clothes or, like, wash it off.
Even that sometimes, like, yeah, sure. Wash it off. But it's like, you sometimes, unless you're going to shower.
Well, I guess it depends on where you sprayed it.
True.
Like, just before we recorded this podcast, I think I washed off Dior Hypnotic Poison from my arms because I sprayed it on and then I was just like, ugh. I don't know why. It just, like, wasn't the day for it.
Yeah.
I had a visceral reaction. I was like, not today.
Right.
And then I, like, scrubbed it off. And then I put on something else.
What to do when your favorite scent isn't available anymore? I feel like we've
get
talked
a new
about
favorite.
This. But yeah, get a new favorite.
That's my answer.
I would go to Fragrantica, figure out the notes that you liked about the scent.
That's so such a gamble, though.
I know, but, like, if you need a place to start, it's better than going in blind, going in dry.
I just feel like so many scents, when I read the recipe, I'm like, whoa, that's not what I expected at all.
I have something to say.
Okay.
It's not related to any of this.
Okay.
But it's about Dossier.
Oh.
Sable and I have been talking a lot about Dossier. Because you motherfuckers keep... My boss slacked me this week. Really? And he was like, thoughts on Dossier? I'm like, can you leave me alone? You all leave me alone. Collectively.
In what context? Like, why?
People want to know. The girls are chirping.
Like, literally, what about it?
So, I think we both don't fuck with Dossier. I don't want to open this can again. We've already gotten weird feedback.
I don't fuck with it because I think it's an unoriginal cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
And look... not to like get really big on this, but like the world is on fire. We don't need more unnecessary shit on the world. Like the beauty industry is just pumping out shit like fast fashion. So when I see a very clearly intentionally fast beauty brand pumping out on other people's coattails, I'm like, why do you exist? You don't need to exist.
And as we say this, let me say a few things. I shouldn't have to say this because we say this every time. But number one, we understand that we get this for free and you don't. And we understand that's a huge privilege.
It's not a money thing.
And all
know,
of that.
I know.
Like, but we acknowledge that all the time. So thanks. But I think I landed the plan on why I don't fuck with Dossier. It is because this came to me in the shower at Equinox on a Tuesday afternoon. Being a knockoff brand that is a blatant, like, that is their business model.
A blatant biter brand.
That is their business model, is saying you can get this scent for less. That posits that the only value that there is in fragrance is one, a $350 price tag, or two, a brand name. So if you can't get Tom Ford Bitter Peach, you can get our $40 version, because you should only want the top of the top. You know, you should only want this expensive shit. That is not true. And why I don't fuck with it is because, like,
good point.
The world is wide. Yeah. There's so much shit out there. We talk about the Tom Fords of it all, as well as the Bath and Body Works of it all, every episode. We don't give a fuck about, we talk about expensive shit. We just, you know, fine. But we also, like, we're trash. We like body sprays too. But the point of it is, it's like, I can't afford half the shit that we talk about if I wasn't getting it for free. I realize that. But it's like, then I would rather go find something that I like. I would rather go discover something else that I fuck with than...
That's an original
and has a story behind it and a concept behind it. And it's going to be a part of my life in a way that is my own than a knockoff of something that I
it's tacky
because listen, it's all coming from the same labs. It's all coming from the same ingredients, all the oils all this shit. I mean, I know it's different, but like, by and large, girls, it's all a price tag.
Yes.
And it's all the same shit in different bottles. So it's like, I mean, like, we live in a capitalistic society. We're all getting finessed. The joke's always on us. Send in the clowns. But I would rather discover something that fits my lifestyle and my budget more, that's going to be cooler and more niche, or not. It might be Bath and Body Works, and that's just cool, than going after a knockoff version of something that another brand made. Yeah. I don't know. Does that make any sense? It's just like, the value of fragrance is not the brand name or the price tag.
Yes.
Anyway, I shouldn't have gone back to this.
That's a great point that I hadn't considered, actually. An angle.
I told myself all week I wasn't going to bring that up.
No, but I totally agree with that. I mean, my whole thing is that, like, I think it's tacky. And like you just said, there's a world of fragrance out there. And if you can't afford one, not for nothing, there's like not a fuck ton of like original smells to be smelled.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to find something similar.
Also, people will be like, so I bought 10 Dossier scents. I was like, okay, that was $400.
Wait, who is doing that?
And I don't give a fuck how you spend your money, whether you buy expensive shit or not. But it's like,
I just don't think it's that rewarding either. Like, if I was like, oh no, I can't afford this Tom Ford fragrance, so I buy this knockoff brand, that's not going to make me feel good about the scent. Like, if anything, that'll be like, I don't know, I feel like that would make me feel worse.
Go to Target and fuck with Mix Bar. Their shit is so good. Their shit is just as good as Tom Ford. It's like $28.
Yeah. Also, a lot of times, the same perfumers who do Tom Ford stuff do like body splash stuff too.
I'm going to cut that all out. I shouldn't have. Okay. Open that can of worms.
I think it's valid.
I just like, I don't work as hard to acknowledge the like expensiveness of it all and like the PR of it all.
Dude, we're not marketers. We are not the people pricing this shit. Also, maybe you're not super into beauty in the sense that we are on the industry and editorial side. But like, if you were not aware of this before, 80% of the price in beauty products
is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like, okay, like L'Oreal owns so many brands, luxury as well as drugstore, same labs are created in.
Same shit.
And it's just the marketing. It's just the perception. And in fact, and they've done studies on this, people are more likely to buy stuff when it's more expensive because the perception is that it's more valuable, mm-hmm. it's more effective. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, it's all a capitalist game and the joke is on us. Like, we are also feeding into that feedback loop. But like, I feel icky about supporting or buying into a brand whose entire model is to knock off other things.
Yeah.
You could go to Fragrantica and read the comments, because a lot of people will say like, oh, this smells like this, or this reminds me of this. So like, that's a great jumping off place to smell to, yeah. to start from.
Okay. Anyway.
Man, now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Well,
we're hungry.
We're hungry. So that's why we're getting like, that's why we're wildly out towards the end of this episode.
Yeah, honestly.
The hungrier we are when we record, the more chaotic the episode is. That's a fact.
If we're running on fumes, yep. it's going to be a kooky episode, mm-hmm. and aren't they all?
So yeah, thank you for contributing your questions.
I love these Q&As. I wish we could do them more, but like, I don't want them to like the shine to wear off. Yeah, I think 2 years is good.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to them so much. And what an episode this was.
What an episode this was. Thank you so much for listening.
We should do, what are we going to do next? A holiday episode.
Sure.
Sure.
We'll figure it out. Follow us and smell you later. Wow. Follow us on Instagram and smell you later on MP3.
I'm Tynan Buck.
And I'm a table to Tigra.
And until next time,
we'll smell you later.
Smell you later.